Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners who are in the trenches, doing the work, changing lives. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I am here with my guests, Robbie and Addie from Everyday Athletes in Vancouver, Canada. Thank you two for being here. How are you doing today?
Pretty well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can't wait. We're going to have a fun 20 minutes or so on the air. Let's just start it off. Tell us about your facility, who you are, who you serve, how you're impacting your community.
Go ahead, Anne.
All right. We serve a number of different people in Vancouver. We started our gym last year, November in 2020, during the pandemic. So we basically do mostly personal training, kinesiology, small group classes. We didn't do group classes for a while because it was kind of restricted at the time, but we had a pretty good client base to start us off with just the two of us. And then we grew kind of month over month, added a few new trainers, and people have been loving the gym, loving the space, and just been having a lot of fun that way. We've both been training for about 10 years and just happy to share our knowledge with people and our community.
So you picked a heck of a time to start a facility. So why do you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, you know what, this is the time. Rents are cheap. Vancouver rent is notoriously ridiculous. Yeah. Was there just a smoking deal on a facility? Like, what made now or November the time to do it?
Well, we were both training at independent, separately in independent gyms where you just like rent space as an external trainer. And then when the pandemic hit, those gyms kind of closed down, and also people weren't too eager to go to a gym like that. You know, we were still very unsure about how this thing was spreading and stuff. So we actually moved a lot of our sessions online onto Zoom and did some work in parks and things like that as well. And we stayed pretty busy. We ended up then using a small garage, like 200 square feet of space to train people. And it was kind of getting to a point where we were running out of space. We were running out of time. And we thought to ourselves, okay, if we go back to renting space in these gyms, our collective rent that we're paying is almost as much as you'd have to spend on renting your own space anyway. So we thought, like, you know what, we have the clients who are loyal to us, who are willing to train, who are willing to stick out the pandemic themselves. Why not take a risk? Not even that much of a risk in terms of opening the space, because we knew we had the clientele, but why not like just jump in a little bit more to business ownership? And we looked around for spaces, and we did find a good one in a very good location. So we bit the bullet and went ahead with it. It's been kind of steadily growing ever since.
Yeah. Well, if you have people that'll be with you during the pandemic, then the odds are they're going to stick with you for a while. So that's a solid foundation. Tell us a little bit about the facility. What's the layout? How big is it? How do you have it set up? How do you run things through there?
Well, our facility is 2,300 square feet. So we kind of have a front space that's more open that we can have four or five sessions going on at once. And then the back zone, we have three different sections there, kind of with a squat rack in the back, dumbbells, and then cable machines. So in total, we can have about eight sessions going on at once, but we usually only have about five or six to leave some space from there. And then we have two change rooms with shower facilities, lockers, and then a bathroom. And it's a pretty good flow through. People come in, they check in at the front, their trainer meets them, takes them to their zone, do their session. We don't have our showers open right now, but if people want to in the future, then can go do their shower and then go to work or go home, chill, whatever. So yeah, it's been a pretty easy flow through with everybody, and they all have their set time. So it was a big difference for us to changing from doing our scheduling on just like Google Calendar to actually getting a software where people can check in and have their sessions paid for in that software as well, and be a little bit more organized that way. Because like we said, we just started with the two of us with the business. So once we had more people, we had to kind of flow from there.
And how many other, you guys both train actively right now, right? How many other trainers do you have?
Five. So we have five employees, two athletic therapists / kinesiologists, and then three other trainers as well.
And you both have a pretty full book of clientele that you're training also?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was a big help. We had a lot of clients. And then, you know, as our team grew, we were able to transition some clients over to some of the new staff members and get their training going, so we could do a little bit less training sessions and work a bit more, as they say, on the business rather than in the business.
Ah, yes. You've been studying your business education, and that's important, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that phrase stems from Michael Gerber and the E-Myth, and then it's kind of gotten disseminated throughout. But yeah, it's super important, because if you have plans to grow beyond just being personal trainers who have your own space, then you have to do something other than just train clients. It can't happen beyond that. Even if you scale to group classes or semi-private, it's still got a cap on it, right? And when you move out into management and business ownership, your imagination and hard work are the only caps. So you opened up not even a year ago with the clients that you had at the time. Do you know roughly how many that was?
Clients at the time?
When you opened? Roughly?
About 60 clients.
Yeah, I'd say around 50 to 60 between the two of us, yeah.
Okay. So you've added steadily a pretty significant number in the time that you've been open. What have you done to get more clients through the door to add that and grow it to the point where you can add trainers and add sessions?
I think one of the major things it did, and at the start, you know, when I started my own business, when I stopped working at a commercial gym as an employee, I was researching a lot about marketing and how to get clients and trying to do like leads and all these things like squeeze pages and funnels and all this type of stuff. And what I really realized is, your clients will sell your training for you if you just do the best training you can possible. If you treat every client like they're the most important client you have, go a little bit of the extra mile. And that's kind of what we did in the pandemic. You know, we were filling up our car with gear and driving to the park closest to our client to meet them. You know, they appreciated that a lot. And you get a lot of referrals, a lot of word of mouth, which is the easiest sale in the world. You know, you could spend hours trying to convince somebody that training is good and you're the best person at it. And if they're looking for a trainer, they just want someone they can rely on. And if someone they trust already tells them that you're a good trainer, that's pretty much a done deal. All they want to know is how much it's going to cost and how often they should train. So that was the main thing. We also do a good bit of social media posting and things like that. So people will hear us just by scrolling Instagram, because we're in the area. And a major thing as well is our location. We've got a really good location where there's not a lot of other gyms in the area, but there is a lot of residents. So people see our gym, we have a big open window, so that helps us a lot. They walk past a few times. And a lot of people that come in, actually a lot of new clients, they say like, oh, I've walked past like 3 or 4 times. I always walk past my way to work, and I've been meaning to come in and say hello or to ask about your training. So that's just one another thing, proximity as well. And so that helped us out a lot. We didn't have to do all the marketing that I thought we might have to do. But in the same way, some of the marketing that we have done has helped a lot as well.
Yeah, I would say just, you know, rough numbers from the conversation that we've had so far is it sounds like you're adding, you know, 1 or 2 people a week in as new clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty steadily over the 10 months or so that you've been open.
Yeah, I would say that's about accurate.
Is that a number where when you opened, if you said like, hey, if I could get, you know, 1 person a week continually, I'd be happy. Did you have a different projection, or is that about on the growth rate that you were hoping for?
I would say, yeah, that was definitely it. But we definitely grew a lot faster than we were even expecting to. Because when we kind of did the business plan originally, we were thinking like, okay, we'll be at X amount of sessions by this time. And we were actually there like a month or two earlier than we had kind of had the goal for that. So yeah, I think we definitely got lucky with the proximity and the word of mouth and everything.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was actually a gym.
Go ahead.
Sorry, there was a gym in here before that a guy was running. He was running it as it wasn't officially CrossFit, but I think he was running it in a similar style, group classes and things like that. And so people knew that there was a gym in the area, and you know, there was a bit of a buzz about it. And then it closed down for a while. And then when they saw it reopening again, it kind of, I think it sparked people's interest a little bit. Especially in the pandemic, people were like, oh, there's a business opening here in the pandemic. What is that? And then they realized, oh, it's a gym. And then, you know, as things were going, people were thinking a lot more about their mental health. Some people were working from home a little bit more and had a bit more free time during the day. So things like that, a lot of things kind of fell into place. And because we pushed through the pandemic and kept doing our best and kept trying to show up for our clients, we actually kind of landed on our feet towards the end of it. Well, it's not the end of it, but you know, as gyms started to open again and things started to become a bit more available to people, we were kind of in a good position then to run with some of the work that we'd already done.
Yeah. So you know, I think what I was going to say there is some of it may have been luck in proximity, but I think a lot of it is just hard work and preparation too, and getting those results for clients, because especially in early growth stage. And I have these conversations, you know, 5 times a day. And when it's a gym who is as new as you are, it's great, right? The best type of clients are the referrals, are the word of mouth. It makes the sales process not even feel like a sales process. And and you really, you know, you have to work hard and not mess that up, but you do get that initial hit. And as long as it satisfies the growth goals that you have, then you're good there. Now, to play devil's advocate on the other side of it, eventually that does level out, you know, the initial buzz wears off, and then you start to have different goals or different things. And then you do need to get into that world of maybe some paid advertising, some marketing. And thankfully, you know, that's one of those things that's still available and attainable as a small business owner. Thankfully, fitness, you know, when you do it at a boutique level, at a high-end service level like you do, you can afford to spend a little because the people coming in are spending. So, and, you know, it's one of those things that eventually, at least, you know, you may have to dip your toes into, so you're prepared. But for now, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, as they say. So, yeah. So there's that. And then that really dovetails into the other part for the, you know, for somebody such as yourself, who's getting a lot of word of mouth, a lot of referrals, is your sales process more of a qualification process than a sale? Like just figuring out if you're a good fit and making a recommendation than really having to feel like you're selling at all?
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of go through an initial like functional movement assessment where we're just kind of seeing how the person is moving, where they're tight, where they're weak, and then we can make recommendations on what we're actually seeing with the person in front of us. So we can make kind of more an individual recommendation and then be like, okay, you know what, you really should come in and see us more often than not. Or, you know, maybe they have a better foundation and they're looking more of a program, then maybe that can work for that person. But it's all really based on what you're seeing with the person in front of you. So I find that just being honest and open with that person, it makes it just be like they trust you a lot more and they kind of go with your recommendation because you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's helpful to come off as an expert if you really are one, right? Because people will see that pretty quickly. So you really take a prescriptive, consultative approach. Somebody comes in and I want to be more fit, and you try to narrow down like, what does that really mean to you? Mm-hmm. And then they may think, well, you know, I think I need to diet and do some jumping jacks. I'm like, well, you know, I'm looking at you and I think we should start here. And then you're giving them your best professional recommendation. And like I said, really you're at a qualification process where you can say, hey, if you want to trust me and let me guide you, we're going to be a good fit. And if not, you know, then maybe it's not a good match.
Yeah.
Kind of have that luxury at this point.
Yeah.
And does one of you two do every one of the assessments when people come in, or do you have your other trainers do them also?
Other trainers will do them also. We started off a little bit more like, yeah, we tried to make sure we were doing all the assessments so that The trainers could, or like the new client or potential new client could meet us. We could put a like a face to the owners and things like that. And we wanted to meet every client that comes in the door as well and have a bit of a personal relationship with them too. Over the course of it, then as we started getting more people and more trainers, it just made more sense to have the trainers do some of the assessments as well, so that they can obviously also start off on the right foot. And then also when you're trying to relay the information from your assessment to another trainer and then say like, okay, let's work on the program. Sometimes it's just better if the trainer can see the person from the beginning, has their own recommendations, and then we can dip in and chat a little bit about what's going on, or they can bring any questions they have to us as well. So we still do have that oversight that we can help our trainers out. But I think it helps the client build a better relationship with their trainer when that's the first person they go to, you know, and then it helps the trainer actually develop a better program, better relationship with the quarter client if they see them from day one on.
And especially with the reassessment as well, because then, you know, the trainer can see firsthand, like, okay, we went from like this positions and like their form was all off here, and now we've like really progressed, and like they can get a little bit more excited about it. We have a lot of the trainers that take some videos on day one too, and then we'll show the clients like 4 weeks later and be like, look at your squat, you can actually get down and do this, like this is sick. So yeah, there's like a lot more hype around that, and people can be proud of their progress too. So yeah, it's good to share that information with everybody.
And I think going back to something we spoke about earlier too, is it lends itself more to the eventual scalability of the business, right? If you have to do every assessment, then you can never get out of it. You can never grow. It's still nice to be able to do it. And I think that works wonders as far as staff development and being in touch with the business, but it's good to be able to do it when and how you want to, and not just because you have to.
Of course, yeah. And I think it helps the trainers grow as a trainer as well, to be multifaceted, to be able to do an assessment, to be able to do an initial functional movement screening, you know, to see what exercises and then develop a program based on that. If we're just handing a trainer a program and saying, okay, run with this, they're not quite as invested in it themselves. It's not quite their own training. And that's really what people come in for. They don't come in for the training as such, they come in for the trainer. So if they can build that relationship and the trainer has more of an in-depth knowledge of that client, they can actually develop a better program that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys opened, and this is kind of a unique thing. We've had a lot of people who opened before COVID, sometimes pretty close to when it started, and that timing was terrible, and who could have predicted it? But you two did it during, right? You saw, you know, the many lockdowns, and you saw that things were still very, very up in the air. So you had that, you knew that was going to be a challenge, and you kind of figured out your way around that. Has anything else come up in the time that you've been open? Maybe an unexpected challenge, something that you've had to overcome or work on that you didn't see as far as being business owners?
At the beginning, actually, we were co-leasing with another company, and that didn't quite work out at the start. They had a little bit different approach. They were like a soccer academy trying to do some indoor training. So it didn't quite work out for them. So they kind of had to pull out. So that was a little bit shocking for us at the start. We were initially thinking, okay, we're going to run half this location, half this space. And then it was like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, now we have the whole space to ourselves. And so we were a little anxious at the time, but, you know, we knew from the beginning that it was going to be successful. We had worked our way up. So at the same time as it being daunting and a little bit scary, it also gave us a good push and a good bit of motivation to actually really knuckle down. And it's actually worked out for the best. Now we have the whole space to ourselves, and, you know, it's worked out better. But there's always going to be things that come up that you don't expect. But I think, you know, you just have to keep your confidence and just keep working hard and keep putting the hours in and putting the effort in.
Yeah, I also think that when that happened too, it brought our team a lot closer together, because everybody kind of realized, okay, yeah, we just got to keep working harder. We want to get more clients. We want to fill the space. So we already had kind of a good foundation and two employees at that time, which luckily for us was good timing, because one of them had literally just started. So She was ready to go and eager to get full. So we just kind of kept rolling with that momentum. And like Robbie said, just, you know, stay positive and don't let that affect you.
So it was almost a blessing in disguise. Obviously, it must have come with something near double the rent in responsibility, but you quickly realized, hey, we're doing this. If we just work a little harder and make sure that we're doing what we want, it's still going to work out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you got to know your numbers too. You have to kind of know your revenue, your profit, like, you know, things like that. So one, it helps you stay a little bit calmer. You know, if you don't know what's going on, you're just going to be anxious all the time. So that kind of helps us. And then it gives you a little bit of projection and just say, okay, if we can get this many new clients and we can do this many sessions, then we can actually be okay for the first 1 to 2 months where the rent is doubled. And then after that, if we keep progressing, then we'll actually be further ahead than we were in the beginning anyway. So it kind of gives you a sense of like direction and a sense of relief a little bit, knowing that it is possible. It is possible to work through this. So then you just have to put, you know, get the head down and just do the work.
And then once you've done it and you've seen it, you go, well, shit, I can do this. I just did it. So I'm going to keep doing it. So
yeah.
It feeds right back into your confidence and in your ability.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like anything in life, and it parallels well with fitness training in general. You meet resistances, that's the whole joy of it. Knowing that you can fail makes it all sweeter when you win. So, you know, hard things come up, but on the other side of that is just more joy.
Perfectly said. So we know a little bit about where you came from and how you got started and some of the stuff you've gone through. I know it's only been 10 months or you're not even at your 1 year anniversary in this spot, but I love to talk about the future. So what's it look like for you? Where are you going? What are your hopes, your dreams? You know, what are the things that you think you can take the business to as owners, as leaders?
At the moment, one of our current plans is to get involved with more sports teams and things like that. So we're called Everyday Athletes for a reason. One of the ideas I had like a long time ago for opening a facility or for doing training was to give kind of professional sports training to amateur or recreational sports people. So like people who just play in a beer league on a Sunday or something like that, or even a little bit of a higher level, but you know, they have a day job and things like that. Basically the training I never quite got when I was playing soccer or boxing or anything like that. So try to bring a bit more of a professional approach to that. So that's kind of the avenue we're trying to go down now a little bit, reaching out to more sports teams and whether they come into our gym and do like a circuit training class for all 15 to 20 of the squad, or we can bring one of our athletic therapists to their matches or tournaments so that they have a professional on hand to deal with any injuries and things like that. So that's kind of the avenue we're trying to go down now a little bit more.
Awesome. Anything to add?
I think you kind of hit it. I was going to say more about the injury prevention side. Sorry, our light just keeps
timer. Is there a light on the timer? We're an audio only podcast, so we'll be the only ones that know what we're talking about. We are in the
I was just going to say more of injury prevention and making, you know, fitness accessible to the everyday person and make it apply to their life as well, which I think is a really important aspect of what we're doing. And that people shouldn't be scared to start, because I know a lot of people that have started recently have been like, you know, I've never worked out before. I don't play any sports. Like, is this gym okay for me? Like, can I come in here? And like, I think it's important to really make people feel like taking that first step and coming into the gym is the most important thing and can change your life. So I think just progressing that way with people and changing more mindsets around that is going to be huge as well in progressing our business for the future.
Awesome. Awesome. I think it's going to be a bright and unlimited future for the two of you. Sadly, we do have to wrap up, but before I let you go, where can people find you online, websites, social media handles, all that good stuff if they want to check out Everyday Athletes.
Our website is www.everydayathletesgym.com. Our Instagram is the same, isn't it?
Everyday Athletes Gym. Everything is Everyday Athletes Gym.
Everyday Athletes Gym, yeah. There's another group in Glasgow, I think, or Edinburgh maybe, that have a similar name to ours. So I think they might just be Everyday Athletes though, but we're the ones in Vancouver. That's how you know who we are.
Right. And if you go to everydayathletesgym.com, I went, I scoped it out. There's some good information there, and all the social media links are at the bottom of their website too. So if you forget it or you're not sure, search Everyday Athletes Vancouver. You'll find them. If you're in the area, definitely go and check them out. They're pretty busy, but it sounds like they might have space for some more. So if you're looking for that, always check out.
And you can bring your dog.
Yeah.
Your dog?
Yeah, bring
your dog. We're dog friendly.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's a different controversial topic in the industry, but I'm a dog person. So bring your dog. Go see these guys at Everyday Athletes in Vancouver. Thank you so much for being here today. I wish you the best of luck. I'll be checking in on you. I can't wait to see how things go. To everybody out there listening, thank you for your time today. We appreciate you spending a little bit of it with us. If you want to hear more episodes, you want to hear more rock stars, people taking the plunge, jumping in, starting a business, some OGs that have been doing it forever, we got it all. More episodes coming once or twice a week. We're pumping them out. So hit the subscribe button. Get notified when new episodes drop. If you want to be on the podcast, we'd love to have you. Everybody's got a story to tell and something to share. Click the link in the description. Someone from the team will get back to you as soon as possible. To everybody out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep kicking ass, keep changing lives, keep working hard. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I am here with Elliot from CrossFit Plainville in Connecticut. What's up, Elliot? How are you today?
Good, Brianna. Thank you for having me. We're doing great today.
Awesome. Good. Glad to have you here. All righty. So let's jump right into the details here. What is it that made you want to own your own facility?
Well, I mean, I got into CrossFit. My brother was doing it when I was still in college, and I tried a couple of classes when I was home, and then I was up at school for a summer, and I was kind of the only one there, and there was a gym in town, and I joined it, and it was great. The gym owners I had were really community-oriented, and that is what I was like, okay. And I started thinking I could replicate something like this, and again, the community aspect is what drew me in the most. I had always worked out, lifted, conventionally strength and conditioning, football, rugby, and I swam. And I was like, okay, like this is stuff I'm used to and I can kind of good at it. So I figured I'd give it a shot. And I did that for a year or so. And then we were graduating. I got the opportunity to manage a gym, and that's how I started. And it was awesome. I really enjoyed working with people just face to face, talking with them, getting to know them in depth. And like I said, the community aspect, we would have barbecues every Saturday after the workout. It was like, we'd make burgers with eggs on top for the breakfast aspect. And it was just fun. And I built a really good community backing and just grew from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you ended up loving the workout and then getting into managing a facility. And then that eventually led you to owning the facility.
Absolutely. Yep.
Kind of a natural progression there when you end up loving the workout. It ends up kind of taking over.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And the cool thing is, a lot of relationships have been involved in the gym. I've had 4 or 5 engagements in the gym. I've had six couples meet and get married from the gym.
Wow.
I'm one of them. And I've, there's been babies made from those relationships. So that's,
yeah, it's that's so incredible crazy, right? To see.
And I really pride myself on that. I like that a lot.
That's awesome. The community aspect is very strong there. I love that.
Yeah.
So as far as your business model goes, so obviously you're a CrossFit box. So group classes, I'm sure, are very strong there. Other than that, do you do any semi-private training or one-on-one sessions? How does that all kind of work?
I myself have private clients that we meet one time a week, two times, three times. We have semi-privates where I'll kind of combine some, and they, again, they know each other and everyone looks forward to it. On top of the CrossFit, we have Iron Tracks Barbell Club, which is its own subsidiary, and it's a competitive Olympic lifting team that we've had since we've opened in the past couple of years. It's really grown, and for new lifters looking to compete outside of high school or college, 56-year-old people are also doing it, and it's a lot of fun as well. Just something in the realm of CrossFit, but also a little bit on its own, which is fun.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It provides another aspect to the business and almost like a next level for people, because a lot of times when they get into lifting, it's like, okay, well, now what can I do with this? How can I push it to the next level? So to have that within your facility is very useful, and I'm sure drives a lot of people to push it to that next level.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So as far as your membership base goes, so how does that work too? If somebody is coming in and working out and then wants to join that competitive team, is that like a different level of membership or is it kind of the same? How does that work?
It's you know, based on the person, it might differ what they need. Mm-hmm. Membership, if you do say an unlimited CrossFit membership, you have full access to our Sunday program classes, Tuesday and Thursday classes, that you'll get the benefit of everything with that. If you only want to come for Olympic lifting, based on your goals and how we're going to help you, the price may differ a little bit, but nothing too drastic.
Okay. All right. And then as far as other streams of revenue within the business itself, are there any other services that you offer as far as anything along the lines of nutrition, coaching, or accountability, anything of that nature?
Yeah. So with that, we have an orthopedic massage therapist that is in the gym. So the members have free access, or not free access, full access to him whenever they can schedule it. We did have a nutritionist. She actually went back to school, so I'm working on getting another one now. In a couple months, I'd say we'll have another one. And then, you know, we sell the regular Fit Aids and protein and whatever other supplements you may need as well. Clothing. So everything right there.
Okay. And do you do any programs as far as, you know, specific goal-based programs as far as weight loss or anything like that with the nutritionist when you did have the nutritionist in-house?
So we would, you know, we would occasionally have like, you know, 800 grams of vegetables for the week or some, whatever that may be, or, I'm sorry, the day. And small challenges like that, but nothing really fully on
super specific.
Yeah. Nothing crazy. Okay. That's more, you know, on your own if you want to do it. But we will offer every now and then a weekly challenge of, you know, say it's anything from sit-ups to, you know, drink so much water a day or anything.
Right. Like that. Yeah, absolutely. Little challenges along the way to motivate people to do some of the basic things that we forget about sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. always having this on hand.
Exactly. Yes. All right. So as far as your membership base goes, how many members are you currently serving within your facility?
I'll say anywhere 115 to 120 right now.
Okay. Yeah. And are all of those members on a monthly contract, or are is it month to month? How do you structure that?
So yeah, we do month to month, and that's our most popular one. We also have a good amount of members on a 6 month or a year long membership where they would get a discount.
Right.
Based on what they choose. Yeah.
Okay.
We also have punch card options where, you know, say, you know, we have someone who lives in, you know, right on the border of Massachusetts, so they can't always get to the gym as much as they want.
Right.
So you can buy 25 classes and use them at your leisure.
Okay.
And so as far as your pricing structure goes, we don't have to get too specific here, but as far as that goes, are you, the longer the commitment, the lower the price essentially?
Yeah, so say you sign up for 6 months, mm-hmm. you would pay for 5 months. You get that 6 months off.
Okay, awesome. Sometimes maybe provides incentive for people to stick yeah. to it and stay a little longer.
Absolutely. We also have our discounts for, you know, active service. I offer a nursing and a teaching discount, and I actually have always done that. That's nothing new. So I think those are very important jobs.
Yes, absolutely. And,
you know, I come from an elementary education background, so I really know that teachers deserve a lot, and I'd yeah. like to give back to that as well.
Awesome. That's great to provide the discounts for those people in the community that are, you know, part of the
that future. Are helping it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. All right. So as far as generating new leads or generating new memberships within the facility, how do you go about doing that? Are you doing any type of paid advertising? Is it more organic, social media posting? How does that work?
Word of mouth has always been our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And social media also helps. You know, I will be the first to admit I am not tech savvy. I'm not. It's not something that comes natural to me. When I'm doing things, I don't think to post them.
Right.
But I have gotten better, and I have a very good coaching staff that also is willing to help me on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I would say that's my weakest point, is I just don't think that like that. And,
yeah.
and that's maybe my old soul, but we're working on it.
Yeah, absolutely. For
improvement.
Well, I mean, it can certainly be a lot to keep up with, especially for the gym owner. You know, you have a lot to do on a daily basis. You're kind of wearing a lot of hats. So to focus on the social media aspect can be a little bit overwhelming. Yeah, but it's certainly true. Important as far as growth goes, especially these days. It's now seems to be more important than ever. But as far as what you're doing right now, as far as marketing goes, how many new faces would you say you're seeing per month on average?
So like today, I had two new women come to the class for, you know, a trial class. I had spoken to them before. They have some workout experience, and today's workout was actually able to accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
On a monthly basis, my time of year will change. So come September, late August, it's kind of my slower time. Everyone's going back to school, last minute vacation, schedules are going back to normal. So people will kind of take a little time off.
Mm-hmm.
I would say March through July is really my busy, busy time. So anywhere in that, I'll see 5 to 10 people, new people a month or so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty good, especially for organic marketing, word of mouth, referral based kind of new memberships there. So on the flip side of that, as far as your retention goes, you know, is retention really good? How many people would you say that you're losing every month?
So,
sometimes we don't like to look at that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But you need to know that.
Exactly.
So, retention, I would say we have 80%+ retention. You know, I've had people with me for 8 years.
Wow.
From the old gym, they moved me to the new gym, and then they were here, you know, as of today.
Right.
Now, with my teens program, I have them, you know, all year long, except when they go, say, football season, they mm-hmm. can't come. So they'll take a break, and I expect them to be coming back after Thanksgiving, depending on playoffs and things like that.
Right.
For, you know, people move, people go to college, they get new jobs. Those things I can't control. They're out of my realm.
Absolutely.
But sometimes people, it's not for them, and that's totally okay. It doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's where you'll see the biggest changeover. And like any other gym, people are going to get bumps and bruises sometimes.
For sure.
And it's going to happen. So that's where I'll say, you know, that's where I'll see that turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I never, you know, like to burn a bridge. So I like communication.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just have no time, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. We're always back open if they ever want to come back or are willing to make a deal if their schedule can only accommodate so much. So
right. Yeah, I mean, people's lives are constantly changing, so you never really know what's going on. So being able to kind of help out and accommodate that, I'm sure that your members really appreciate that. And it really sounds like you have a great community there, which is super important as far as that retention aspect goes as well. So as far as goals go, what is something specific that you're focused on within the business over the next 6 months to a year or so, would you say?
My, we'll say, you know, short-term goal is just, I wouldn't say getting back, you know, pre-COVID. We're fortunately doing well since COVID happened and everything like that. That actually forced us to become more organized. And in turn, we can now focus on each member more. And I like that a lot, you know, meaning after COVID, we had to have, you know, individual boxes in the gym for people in their own areas. And we had to limit class size. So doing that initially, we're like, oh man, you know, people aren't going to like that. You know, we can't have our usual 20 people in class. We have to cut it back to 10 because of the 6 foot requirements, whatever. But in doing that, we adjusted and we got to know the clients and the members more so because we got to work on them more. And so going forward, I'd say I want to keep doing that. I want each of my coaches and myself to really bond with the members. And that way we can give them the best bang for their buck.
So right. Yeah, absolutely. So as far as where you were pre-COVID, as far as your membership base goes, what are the differences now?
Pre-COVID, we, you know, some classes were filled to the brim, others weren't. Now, some classes, you know, our 4:30 p.m. class, people get out of work, it's always busy. Our 9 a.m. is always busy, and our 5:30 a.m. is always busy. Those have stayed pretty consistent. The other ones are filling up because, you know, again, people's schedules will change, but pre-COVID, I'd say, you know, I wasn't necessarily able to give each and every member their individual time that I like to give them. Now, I'm able to do that. And I really, really like that. I see better changes and I see more progress with them. And that's something I want to continue to offer. So going back to the long-term goal, my role now that I have a really, really good support staff is to fill in almost as a second coach in those busy classes, whether I'm meeting with my private clients or my competitive clients. You know, we have the Open coming up and Wadapalooza, but being able to help those clients that may need a little extra coaching inside that class while the other coach is helping everyone else. So everyone will always be able to, you know, have every question answered, every movement scaled, whether they, you know, to their ability, up or down. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Being able to provide that kind of next level of service to help people really get to those results that they're looking for is huge. And that also plays into the retention factor as well, right? So people seeing the results that they're looking for, having that great experience, really feeling like they're getting what they pay for from the service itself helps to keep them around longer.
Yeah. And, you know, we all know CrossFit is expensive, especially, you know, everything is expensive nowadays. I have never raised my rates in 5 years. Starting November 1st, 2 days ago, was the first time I ever did raise my rates just because you have no choice. You have to.
Right.
Heat, electric, food, it everything costs money and you have to go with it. But along with that, we're also increasing our equipment, whether repairing it or adding on to it for our needs. And I think people see that we're putting the money's just going right back into the gym. And I like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that that's something that a lot of gym owners are afraid of, raising their rates, you know, and a lot of times people just don't charge what they're worth because they try to get competitive with studios within the area. And a lot of times they end up, you know, there's a race to zero. You know, you can, everybody wants to beat everybody else's prices, but provide more services to the clients. So it's like, you're almost providing more, but you're getting less and you can only go so far before you reach zero, you know?
Absolutely. And you don't want to undervalue yourself either.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Where on the other end of the spectrum, you can always provide more value and in turn charge more.
Yeah.
You know, that it's limitless the other way, but you can only go so far before you get to zero. So I think that a lot of times that is overlooked, and, you know, people who pay attention, right? Yes. So the clients that are paying more for the services that they're receiving, chances are they're more invested than those who are maybe not paying as much for a particular service. I mean, if we look at general memberships within gyms that cost, you know, $10 a month, $20 a month, even up to $40 a month, you know, a lot of times people are paying these memberships, but they're not actually going to the gym, right? They're
so not. You know, you're buying that kind of spur of the moment feeling of goodness. You know, you're laying in bed 11 o'clock at night, you're like, I got to do something. And you sign up for a gym membership and then you never use it because it was spur of the moment. You know, it was a fast thought that you had, but you have no intention of actually doing anything with it. Whereas if you spend the money, like I'm going to use every single thing I can at that gym, every benefit I can get from it because I spent all that money.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's an investment. You know, so we go where our money goes. So if you're actually paying for something, then chances are you're going to be there. You're going to actually reach those results. So important to keep that in mind when thinking about membership pricing, for sure. Yep. So as far as let's kind of switch gears here. So something that I always love to ask every gym owner that I speak with, it's a little bit on the deeper side, or it can be, is if you could snap your fingers and improve one thing within your business today,
yes,
what would that be and why?
So I will say that as of, you know, maybe a month or two ago, I had a coaching changeover, all good things, but when I have coaches leave, I get more classes, and I love coaching the classes, but at a certain point you get tired.
Yes.
And then you cannot give enough to the members, and it's natural. It's going to happen. You get burned out. Currently, I have a wonderful coaching staff that, you know, knock on wood, everything goes great. People are happy. Everything's going awesome. And now I'm able to focus on all those things. So if you asked me that 2 months ago, I would have said, snap my fingers. That's the answer.
Right.
Now, what I'd like to change is, you know, I'm always looking for a larger facility. And there's only so many buildings in a town. So if I were to snap my fingers, I would say I'd like a larger, higher ceilings. studs in my walls is a big deal, believe it or not, to put stuff on the walls.
Right.
So I'd say a larger, more updated facility.
Okay. And what is it that would get you there to that larger facility? What would you need to change or implement to see that level of growth?
As of now, I would need more members, you know, keep the revenue coming in more so, and places that are available to rent out or buy.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you started, I've talked to a couple of gym owners over the last even week or so that are looking to expand and have looked into facilities, and they're actually running into two issues. So one being available space, and then two being some landlords don't want to rent to gym owners right now, because I'm sure of, you know, over the last year and a half or so, about 30%, might even be more at this point, of gyms have closed. So I'm sure that plays into that. But have you started looking at all for a larger facility?
I'm always on the lookout. I was looking at a place back in the summer that we almost had a deal and everything. And then they were kind of just being weird, changing stuff, telling us. Whenever I'm going to talk to an owner of a building or a landlord, or say, I am always right up front. I say, we're going to be dropping weights. It's going to be loud, and we play loud music.
Right.
We're going to be running around the building or on a trail or whatever that land is, and we're going to have parking. Sometimes it'll be busy. However, we're going to be parking when normal work hours usually are not there.
Exactly.
You know, really the 9 a.m. class will conflict, but with our space now, it's no issue. But like I said, I'm always completely upfront with what they're going to expect and what they're going to see, mm-hmm. so they can tell their other tenants or whatever. We ran into an issue when I first came into the building I'm in now. The company directly next to us made small like screws for, say you're getting a shoulder surgery, those screws would be in your body.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the machines making them had to be super precise, obviously.
Right.
And they were getting pissed because we were dropping weights and they were, you know, vibrating, whatever. And that's totally understandable. However, I have a business to run and I was totally upfront with the landlord.
Right.
So I can only go help so far. I'm a very laid back person. Like, mm-hmm. I'll help if I need to, if I can do anything to make that difference go away, but I'm also not going to hinder my business to help another person's business, especially if they're being rude about it.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, so I'll be as helpful and nice as I can be, but I also have to run a business.
Right. So. The end of the day, it is a business that you're running.
Yeah.
I love that. So you're looking to grow, looking to expand, yeah, you know, and
that is always going to be the goal, no matter what mm-hmm. we get to.
Absolutely.
I think it has to be. You should right. never be content. Yeah.
Grow or die. That's what they say, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I mean, the more that you grow, the more that you expand, the more people that you can help. So why would you not want that, essentially?
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. So as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
So you guys can find me, the main one, CrossFit Plainville Instagram page. And then we have Iron Tracks Barbell Club.
Okay.
We also have our CrossFit Kids program, which we're kind of updating now. So there's not a ton of content on it, but the main two are CrossFit Plainville and Iron Tracks Barbell Club.
All right. Awesome. So Elliot from CrossFit Plainville in Connecticut, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you on the show.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Brianna.
Of course. All righty. And to all the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, make sure you keep killing it out there and we'll catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple, cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast, where we talk to gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. I'm here with my guest, Shayla Ford, owner of Sayus Law Strength and Conditioning in Oregon. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I mean, everything's downhill from here. I pronounced the name of the gym right.
I know,
so
I got it right.
We're going to crush them. So we're going to have some fun here. Let's jump right into it. Tell us all about the facility, about who you are, who you serve, what you're doing in your community, how you do it.
Yeah. So we're over here on the lovely Oregon coast, and I have a small 1200 square foot facility where I run a few five classes a day, and we run about 8 people per class. So we do a lot more like small group training. because of the fact that it just really serves our community the best. And then we do a lot of one-on-one training, and then we have a couple of kids classes as well. We actually started those kids classes during quarantine because a lot of those kids weren't able to get out and run around. And so thankfully the elementary school let us use that for their credit. So that's how we started the kids class. Our community is pretty small. It's about 4,000 people, but we really try to serve those that are in between our, you know, obviously younger age, which aren't a lot of us. You know, it's definitely a retirement community, but we thankfully have a nice little reputation where we have everybody. You know, we have 10-year-olds that come to class, and we've got a couple of 7-year-olds that come to class. So, and kind of everybody in between. We are really big on trying to make sure that everybody gets their own individualized work when they come. So, you know, really not mattering where you are in any walk of life, that you can come into a class and you can feel super comfortable with everybody in here, with your coaches and with all of the movements that are given you.
Perfect. So a lot of what you do is going to be, it's not boot camp big, it's not huge classes. You're limiting to at maximum 8 people at once with an instructor. So it really is, it's almost like getting semi-private training at a group training price, because your focus is, we're going to keep the quality high. We're going to make sure that our reputation stays good in the community. We're not going to be getting people hurt. We're not going to do any of those things that people are afraid of when they come to a group training facility, that it may look or sound like it could be sort of CrossFit-y, sort of group functional fitness. It's all those things that might hurt your reputation and make it hard in a community like yours, because if the word gets out and it's negative, you're in trouble. If it's good, then you're sitting pretty. So you really have to fiercely protect that for the business sake. And also so you can look yourself in the mirror and walk around the community, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. So I'm always interested, what gave the gym owner the crazy idea that they should get into this business? It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hours. It can be thankless sometimes. There's a lot of bumps. I know that we all love helping people. Everybody has that in common in the business. But what made you think, I'm doing this, I'm gonna sign a lease, give me the darn keys, I'm gonna make a go of this?
So I actually started, I have a degree as a pharmacy tech. And so I did that for a few years. And I realized as I was doing that in the pharmacy that I didn't feel like I was helping people the way that I thought I was going to when I was in school. I felt like I was hurting them more than anything. I've always been very athletic. I've always been very much into sports and nutrition, even from a young age. So sitting in there and watching these people kind of be given all of these medications, when in reality, if someone were to say, hey, have you thought about your lifestyle? Have you thought about, you know, what you're eating and how much you're moving? Then we could maybe work your way off of this. So I was there for about 3 years, and I finally one day was like, I cannot do this anymore. This is not where I'm meant to be. So within that time, I decided to be a stay-at-home mom, had 2 kids. In 2014, I was given the opportunity to get certified as a personal trainer at our little box gym here in Florence. And I snatched it up. I was like, yes, like I want to do this. And so then slowly I started building my reputation as a really good trainer. I was really focused on functional movements. I was really focused on getting people to just be able to move properly throughout their everyday life. You know, we weren't doing anything weird or crazy. So then that obviously led into me looking into, you know, a CrossFit strength and conditioning style workout and gym. Well, we didn't have anything like that here. So I actually drove an hour 2 days a week to go to a strength and conditioning gym in Coos Bay. So I did that for a while. And the coach there was amazing. She was like, listen, you have the skill set, you have the knowledge, why don't you open your own space? And I was like, because it's a lot to take on. But I was like, okay, if you believe in me, I will. So I went and I took my L1 as a CrossFit coach in 2017. And then in 2018, I let my bosses know at my gym, like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and start moving away and doing my own thing. And they were like, awesome, like, good for you. You know, we definitely knew you were going to outgrow us, you know, once you really got started. So I decided that I was going to just take all of my clientele from the gym, and I actually moved everybody into my garage. So we started training in my garage. We trained there throughout 3 or 4 months. And then I got the opportunity to go into a bigger space. It was a 2000 square foot space with, you know, it was huge. It had lots of like extra space. You know, we had like an office and a front way, and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is going to be it. And as I, you know, set up my lease and my rent and all these things in my head, I was like, well, I really should maybe get a lawyer to make sure that everything was kind of on point. And so I had gotten a lawyer to make sure that all of my, because I went in as an S corp, and to make sure everything was set. And I sent him the lease, and he was like, this is a really interesting lease. I've never seen anything like that. I'm like, oh, all right. Didn't think anything of it. Well, they were like, oh, well, we don't want to charge you very much, you know, because we just want the space to be rented. And then, you know, we'll slowly work it up. I'm like, awesome. As a new gym owner, being able to afford to pay your rent, get more members, buy all of your equipment, you know, that's kind of a dream.
For sure. Yeah.
Within 2 weeks, I had the landlords coming in, and they're like, what are you doing in here? And I was like, running my gym. What do you mean? And they're like, we, you know, the neighbors are saying that you are, you know, beating on the walls and making all these loud noises. And I'm like, well, it's, yeah, we're running workout classes. Like, we have barbells, we drop weight and this and that. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, but I'm put in as I saw CrossFit at the time. I was like, did you guys not look up what CrossFit was? Like, I'm confused. So then they started like coming at me with lawyers and cease and desist, and having their neighbor gal would come and harass my clientele, like on and on and on and on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a nightmare. And so they continuously threatened, we're going to kick you out. We are going to kick you out. You can't be here. Thankfully, my lawyer was like, yeah, this is the worst written lease I've ever seen in my life. And it saves you completely. They can't do anything to you. There's nothing in here about you making noise and any of these things. Like, they cannot kick you out. So that went on for about a year. And I continuously fought them and, like, you know, sent them a cease and desist that they were not allowed to come into my space and harass me while I'm coaching classes. They would come in and scream at me. And I was like, I'm just not going to back down. You can't, there's nowhere else for me to go. Like, in Florence, there's not a lot of warehouse space available. So I was like, where am I going to go? So this went on. And I would say August of 2019, I had a good friend of mine go, hey, I have somebody who is buying a building and they need a space to be rented. Are you interested? And I'm like, yes, please. They're like, but it's not going to be ready until December. And I had had enough by that point. And I was like, I can't, I don't think that for my sanity, I can stay in this space anymore. So in order to get my deposit back from these landlords, I said, listen, I'll move out by August. So they're like, okay, we'll give you your deposit back if you will leave right now. So I moved out, and I had at that time about 60 to 70 members, and I moved us to my garage again. So my two-car garage at my home, I moved all of my members, all of my equipment. So we ran classes out of my garage for 4 months. It was interesting because we lost quite a few people because I did live a little bit of ways out of town. And a lot of people didn't want to drive there. And they were like, we're going to work out in your garage. I'm like, yep, that's kind of all the options we have. And they're like, yeah, no, you know, so it, as sad as it was to lose some people, I feel like it really kind of weeded some people out that weren't maybe there for the right reasons. But we just kind of kept plunking along. We kept doing classes and all that stuff. And then we moved into the space that we're in currently in December. And, you know, it still had that small feel that everybody actually always talks about. Like, they're like, oh man, remember when we would work out in your garage and we would be in the driveway and running around your neighborhood. And, you know, thankfully my neighbors were all, you know, so used to me, you know, working out in my garage anyway, that they didn't even notice it. So we just kind of moved back here, but I wanted to keep that kind of small knit feel because everybody seemed to really enjoy that. So we kept the, you know, small classes, and we kept the, that kind of feel where you really feel like you're getting that individual attention. And slowly, you know, everything, like, you know, everybody started coming back in and we got new members, and then COVID hit. And I was like, oh, now what are we going to do? So I was like, well, okay, guys, like, I want everybody to continue to move. So I rented out our gym equipment. If you kept your membership up to date, then you got to take home equipment. We didn't lose one single person. Everybody continued to pay their memberships. The great thing about our space is the fact that we have primarily first responders. So fire department, police department, dispatch, our local, electrical company. We had mainly them. And then we also had, you know, a lot of workers from our hospital. And then we have a lot of Coast Guard. So we had all of those. None of them were impacted by COVID. So they were like, no, we're going to keep you going. Like, we need you to be here when we get back. So we just kept plunking away. I made videos for everybody. We posted them. And then when we were able to get back into the gym, everybody just came back and everybody was ready to go. Like, it felt like we didn't skip a beat. So we just kind of, you know, moved back in and off we went. And we just, you know, have continued to grow because everybody is like, oh my gosh, you know, it's such a great community. You know, you, with the small classes, you get that really good communication with people where it's like, if somebody doesn't come to a class that they're normally at, instead of me being like, hi, where'd you go? You've got five other people going, excuse me, why did you skip class? You know, so it's, you know, if somebody is, you know, sick or if something happens, you know, it's all of us are right there to kind of pick you back up and help you whenever you need it. So that's kind of from start to finish of where kind of our story was.
Well, you're certainly not finished. It sounds like there's a lot more story to go. So I wanted to get to some of the other things you do in the gym. One of the things that stood out to me is you're into nutrition coaching, right? You're a precision nutrition certified coach. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, we had John Berardi on the podcast.
Super, oh, cool.
I didn't get to interview him, but that was the first certification of any type that I ever got was precision nutrition. And so I'm a big fan there. So talk to me a little bit about your passion for that, how you implement it in the gym, what that looks like for your members, and how you have that integrated into the community.
Yeah. So with the precision nutrition, it was something that I had always really looked into. And I find that obviously with my pharmacy degree, that looking on kind of the other side, that, you know, when it comes to nutrition, anybody really can give advice if they want to, but I'm very big on, no, you really need to know what you're doing. You need to know what you're talking about. You really need to cover all of your bases because you don't want to give somebody bad information and then have them kind of pull away from it altogether. So we usually start like right before the holidays, we do like a nutrition group. And so we pull in whoever wants to do it. We do a lot of stuff through like Facebook where we post a lot of, you know, the things that we're supposed to focus on in that challenge, or I guess in that group. What we focus the most on is just knowing like how much food you're eating when you start. So, you know, weighing out all your food and just kind of writing that down, because a lot, you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've come from. So having everybody really set that base that's very tailored to them, having them then set goals and then kind of tailoring that to what they need. So obviously like macros and this and that. We really like doing the 800 gram fruits and veggies challenge. From EC Sinkowski. She's amazing. I love all of the work she does. So we do a lot of that too, where it's like just getting people to eat more fruits and veggies. I'm not big on telling people what they can't have, because I feel like if you're like, oh, you can't have those things, then they're like, but that's now all I want. So if you're like, no, you know, you can have all of those things, but you have to get 800 grams of those fruits and veggies, you know, first. It's easier to give people things to work towards versus telling them things that they aren't allowed to have. It works a lot better for, you know, your psyche, where you're like, oh, well, I'm not supposed to have that. Well, I did. Now I've messed it up and now I'm done and now I have to start over. Instead of being like, no, just try to get all those fruits and veggies. And if, you know, your, you know, whatever, you know, sugary coffee fits into that, sure. Like, if that's something that brings you joy, don't take it away. Cause, you know, nutrition is not meant to be right now. It's meant to be forever. You want to find something that works for you for the long haul, not just something that you can do for a month, lose a little bit of weight, and then never do it again.
Very, very well said. And one of my favorite parts of one of the things that it was a big takeaway for me when I first started looking at Precision Nutrition and looking into other things was the way that I summarized it was, if you try to eat everything that would be good for you and that what you need, especially in an athletics setting, it makes it really hard to have room to eat anything else. So
yeah,
just like, yes, I'm going to have this and probably just going to have a little bit of it because I'm full from all the good stuff. So if you get people to do that, and it is by no means an easy task, right? Because no. our whole society, Western society in general, is so focused around the rituals and the socialization and those things. And that's not to make excuses. It's just, there's a lot of roadblocks. There's a lot of barriers as a coach to get people psychologically bought in. So I love that you do it. You have the challenges, you have the different ways people get it. And you also offer it as just a standalone service if people want to add it on to their program as well. So it doesn't have to be in the context of a challenge. If somebody says, hey, Shayla, you know, I'm not looking the way that I want to look, or I'm not feeling the way that I want to feel, what else can I do? I'm sure that, like all coaches, you can give some basic advice, but it's like, if you want me to really guide you through this, my time has value and there's going to be a charge for it. So,
yeah, that's definitely something that I found, that as I've gone through this, where people really like to ask you questions and they like the advice that you can give, but a lot of the times they're not really willing to pay for it. So in my eyes, all of the knowledge and all of the things that I've done, I've put money into. You know, I put money into getting certified. I've put money into, you know, continuing education. And those things are of value. Those are what I bring value to people. And so in order for me to really for you to really take it seriously, you got to put some cash on the table, because then I know you're listening to me, because you've put in your amount of time you've put in. And so now I can give you, you know, what you need out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two big things that we talk about a lot are people who pay attention.
And, yeah, it's true.
And you have to have some skin in the game to get results, whatever that is, whether it's time, effort, money, some combination of those. If it's too easy, if there's nothing, if you don't have anything invested, then the odds are at the first sign of any type of difficulty, you're out. It's all over. So, okay. So we have that. That's something that clearly you're passionate about, and we know the results and we know what you can give to somebody through that. What else I know you said you have your kids program, right? So you get the kids in through the school and through lockdown. Is there anything else that you're currently offering or thinking about offering or working on that you want to do to add more value, to add more to the life cycle, to how you can serve your clients?
That's a good question. I mean, we do offer, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one stuff with a lot of people who, you know, whether they're not comfortable coming to a class or if they just don't feel like you know, they want that face value. Like they really want that face value. But so I have in the past worked with a lot of the high school athletic programs. And so I've gone into their gym space. I worked with the football team about 2 years ago who just went to state, might I add, good for them. I went in and I worked with them over the summer on Olympic lifting and lifting and just their overall form when it comes to it. And just the idea of, it's not about the amount of weight that you're lifting. It's about the way that you're lifting the weight. And so, you know, with a bunch of 16 to 18 year old kids, boys, you kind of have to pound that into their heads a little bit. But overall, working with them for, you know, I believe I was there for 4 to 6 weeks. I think that it was that like, oh, I get it now. Like if I lift it really well, then I can lift it a lot heavier and still do it really well and still make all these gains. And so with that, like we're really big on reaching out to our community, you know, our any of our school programs, you know, I helped out with soccer this year, just reaching out to those where I'm like, what do you guys need? What do you guys need for our youth programs to be able to make them the best that they can? For the most part, my time is obviously dedicated into the gym for that. But I'm like, do you need sponsors? Do you need somebody to, you know, do you want me to advertise? Do you want me to put stuff up in the gym for you? Like, what do you guys need that I can help you with? Again, right? I can't give my time, but I can give anything else. And so that's something that we've really created a really great bond with a lot of the, you know, the school athletic programs and all that, where, you know, if you want your kids to, you know, continue on with their training, not just in, you know, the time that they're in season, bring them to us. I'm happy to do one-on-ones. Like we have, I think 4 or 5 different kids who, like, depending on what sport they're in, they come in here. So they come in here when they're kind of on their off season, they build up that muscle, that stamina, that endurance. And then when they go back into their sport, they're killing it. Because of the fact that they've gained all that muscle and they've gained all of those, you know, little things that they need that they weren't, you know, getting during their off season. So that's definitely something that I would like to do more of, where I would love to bring, I mean, do, you know, like a summer program where we have just those kids' athletics come in and get to utilize the gym and utilize our coaches.
Perfect. So you have a pretty full roster of clients. You have a really strong identity, strong local brand. You have other community outreach things. It sounds like things are really firing on all cylinders for you. There's a lot going. Are there any struggles? Are there any challenges? Are there any things that you, I mean, there's always struggles, right? But are there any big things that you're working on, skills you're trying to acquire, things that you think you need to do to continue to grow as an entrepreneur, as a business? What's on that list?
Yeah. So I found that with myself, because of the fact that I, you know, a lot of people have the misconception that as a coach of a gym, I have all of the time in the world to train or do my own kind of stuff. And that's just not true. Like you really have to carve out that time, you know, to be able to get your own training in. And I always tell all of my athletes, like, I should be working harder than you always, because I want to set that bar here, because I want everybody to see, like, oh, you know, coach doesn't just come in and lollygag and this and that. No, I come in and I'm working hard and I'm making, you know, goals for myself always. Like, it doesn't matter if I've acquired a certain skill, like I want to be then better at that skill. And then I want to be better at coaching that skill. And then I want to be better at giving you modifications for that skill so you get stronger. So I think my biggest thing that I work on, number one, is just like I want to keep all of the athletes that I have. So not getting that turnover. So creating a space to where they're seeing goals and gains being reached, but not in a way that's going to injure anybody or push anybody away. And then my own self, I actually go over to a gym in Eugene once a week. It's just it's an Olympic lifting gym. That's all they do. And I get coached there because Olympic lifting is not my strong suit. It's not something that I easily picked up. It's not something that I found to be like, it's so complicated. And in my eyes, if I'm going to coach that, then I need to be coached by somebody who's better than me. So I go in and I get coached and I get feedback and I pull all those things. And then I take what she's given me and I apply it to my classes. And then, you know, my coaches do the same thing with, you know, if we work out together where I'm like, oh, you know, I learned this little thing and they're like, oh, that's a great, you know, thing to do. And so I think it's just that continuing education where you're just continually building on your skill set so that you can continue to give people of wherever they're at skill sets so that they can visibly see, you know, those gains in the gym and outside of the gym. From a financial point of view, I feel like I do pretty well to, you know, I feel like I charge people what we're worth. I believe that, you know, my one-on-one people eventually go into classes because they see the value of being in a group setting. You know, just kind of those little things. So it's, you know, I mean, struggles are always there, right? Like I'm, you know, I'm a mom and my husband's schedule is very unpredictable because he works for the power company here. So he's always gone. And it's just, you know, balancing all of those out. So not giving, you know, I don't want to give too much in here if I'm not giving enough at home. So just finding that nice little balance of like, you know, family and gym. But then again, it's hard because I feel like the gym is my family. Like I still like these guys, I want to give my all. Like you walk into a class at 5 a.m., you're getting the same Coach Shayla as you do at 5:30, where I'm like, all right, guys, let's go. Let's get it done. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's 5 a.m. Why are you so excited? And I'm like, because I'm in the coolest place in the world with some of the best people. How could I not be excited to be here? So
really you're just, it's a lot of personal development as far as you know, harness or honing your skills, getting better, feeling like you're just continually adding more to yourself and your development, but also to be able to, again, share with the community and help them so that if you stagnate, they stagnate. So you're just trying to stay ahead of that curve. I love that. What I don't love is we are just about out of time. And before I let you go, I want to make sure that I have a big question, and sometimes it's a tough one, but if you could go back to when you first decided, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to strike out on my own. I'm going to do this thing. If there was a piece of advice that you could give to yourself, you know, back when you first signed that first lease, even though some weird stuff happened, but when you first decided that you're going to do it, what would that advice be?
My advice would be to not undervalue what I was offering. I think that when I first started, I very much just wanted people to come to my space. And so I undervalued kind of what I was giving. And instead of charging what was appropriate, I charged what I thought people would pay to come. And I continuously wanted to bring more people in. Like I wanted full classes all the time. And I think that I really undervalued that, where you don't need to have a full class in the gym to still be continually like being able to pay your rent and your bills and all of those things. And just really looking at what you have to offer and charging appropriately. And if people don't want to pay that, then that's not an important thing to them. And it has nothing to do with you and what you're offering and what you're trying to get people to do. Like people will put money into something they find valuable. And if it's not you, that's fine. Cause I found that it might not be right then and there, but then they see people talking about it. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe I undervalued what they're offering. Maybe that's really what I want to do. But to maybe not take, like, don't take it personal if somebody doesn't want to spend the money with you, because guess what? They're going to get out of life what they're putting in, and you're going to get out of it what you're putting in. And if I continuously undercut myself, guess what? Then I'm going to be miserable because I know that I'm worth more. That would be my advice.
So to summarize, know your worth and don't let anybody dissuade you one person away from that. Figure out what it is, what you think it is. And it's only you can decide it, but whatever number you put on yourself, you're probably worth more anyway, right? Because we all tend to be humble in that respect, but yeah. don't take no for an answer or don't take less. So I like that point of view. Last question before we let you go, if people want to check you out, they want to find Sayus Law online. I said it right again.
Yeah.
They want to find you. What are your social media handles, website, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So our website is just sayuslawstrengthandconditioning.com. Our Instagram is at sayuslawstrength. And then Facebook, you can find us Sayusla Strength and Conditioning as well. And it's spelled S-I-U-S-L-A-W.
Awesome. Thank you for the spelling. It'll be in the show notes if you're listening too.
Awesome.
Sheila, I appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You are very welcome. And to everybody out there listening, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you spending a little bit of your day with us. We hope you found a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of knowledge on this podcast. If you want to hear more, click the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. If you want to be on the show, if you're feeling like you're as awesome as Sheila, come on, talk to us, tell us your story, your entrepreneurial journey. Click the link in the description, fill out the form. We'll get in touch with you as soon as possible. To everybody out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives, keep kicking ass. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.